Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's great to have you with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick. When it comes to medical science, bigger is better. The more people you can get into your experiment, the more it tells you about how the world really works. Well, that's the reason why the National Institutes of Health is now looking for 1 million Americans to donate their genetic and health information this spring. The initiative is called All of Us. The idea here is to match genetic data with lifestyle and health data to come up with a finely detailed picture of what affects Americans' health and where the cures are.
If you get sick and you need to take a drug, 10 years from now, this study will teach us what's the right dose of the right drug for you, as opposed to a one-size-fits-all approach to prescription.
That's NIH Director Dr. Francis Collins, the driving force behind the Human Genome Project at NIH. Well, now the agency wants the world's largest genetic library, and the idea is to help focus medicine more sharply than ever. Dr. Collins, thanks for being here. DNA, lifestyle, and environmental information on 1 million Americans. It's a massive undertaking. Why so big?
If you really want to understand what are the factors that play out in terms of maintaining good health or how best to manage chronic illness if it strikes, you need very large amounts of data, and lots of people participating in a study of that sort is how we could get there. And that both gives us the power to really understand what the factors are that play out in health or illness, but also how we can understand differences between people so that we might be able to get beyond a one-size-fits-all approach to health maintenance into something that's more individualized. So it's time to move what has been small-scale efforts, at least in this instance, up to an unprecedented scale of 1 million people. And we're going to learn things from this that will transform our understanding of medicine.
So what would this database actually consist of? What are you asking of people?
So we'll ask our participants, and they're going to be full partners in all the decisions that happen about their data and what happens to it and how much they want to see and where it goes. We would ask them to fill out a whole lot of questionnaires about their lifestyle, their health behaviors, their diet, their exercise plans. We'll ask them to give a blood sample and a urine sample. The blood sample will be used to do a lot of laboratory measurements, including looking at their DNA to look at hereditary factors. And we'll ask them to make their electronic health records available. All of this anonymized before it goes into a central database where researchers can get access to it to protect their privacy. But we do want to have this kind of very comprehensive understanding of what's happening to these people. And not just one snapshot, but this is going to be over time. People who participate, we hope, will stay involved in this program for many years to come.
So, Francis Collins, talk a little bit about the scientific goals here, and let's try to get specific. You already mentioned that big sample sizes are good. A group of 1 million people tells you a lot more than a group of 1,000. I get that. But let's say, you know, if we already know that high cholesterol, mostly from diet, increases the risk of heart disease, and we sort of know that, what more could we learn about that public health problem from a database like this?
Well, we know that not everybody with the same level of cholesterol ends up with the same heart disease risk. There must be other subtleties that are going on there. We haven't had the ability to take that apart. With very large numbers of people where we also know about their diet plans, their exercise plans, other kinds of laboratory measures, their DNA, we'll even outfit many of these people with wearable sensors like Fitbits that they can walk around with to keep track of their daily activity. We should be able to say, hey, you know, your cholesterol, although it looks like it's probably okay in the normal range, you're actually somebody who might need an intervention anyway because of these other risk factors. Trying to take this from where it has been, which is pretty much one size fits all, to something that's more individualized. And with large numbers, we should be able to do that.
Well, Dr. Collins, I can hear you in your answers promoting transparency and privacy here at the outset. And you all seem to sense the risk here perceived by the public. Will convincing Americans to give over their genetic samples with a lot of other information about their lives to the government be an impediment here? I know that you're telegraphing a lot of transparency and a lot of buy-in, but people might look at this sideways and see that it's information they don't necessarily want to give, even if they believe in good science.
I totally understand that. And I would not want anybody to sign up for this study without looking at exactly how we're planning to maintain the security of the system. That'll be part of the consent process. And if people simply aren't comfortable with that, well, then they simply should decide not to take part. And many people will feel that way. But from our early efforts here, and we've been doing a beta test here, a lot of people still see this as something they want to take part of. They understand that risks are there. They understand that we're doing everything possible to protect the security of the system. And we're stripping off all of the identifiers that give you name and address and birth date and social security number and all that stuff, so that what's in the database that researchers will work with will not say who these people are. Still, they understand that there are potential risks there of identification. And yet, we now have more than 10,000 people in our test of this who have signed up enthusiastically to say, I want to take part. This is an adventure I want to be part of. And they're going to get a lot of information back about themselves, which could be quite valuable for their own healthcare.
So, Dr. Collins, I spent a lot of years covering your agency and the FDA, and clinical research has suffered greatly from a lack of ethnic and sex diversity, just in the pool of people who are studied and the types of results you can get. So how will this project help?
We have an explicit goal of enrolling in this group of 1 million people, at least half of them that are traditionally underrepresented. And that includes racial and ethnic groups that tend not to be invited to participate in research or who have concerns about it. It includes people from different socioeconomic status. We want to be sure we're reaching out to those who maybe otherwise wouldn't have heard about a study of this sort. That includes geographic diversity. That includes getting people in rural areas who often don't participate in research. We're very determined. Watch us on this one. This is going to be a very different model.
All right. So, Dr. Collins, let's jump ahead 10 years. The data and the samples have all been collected. Research groups have applied to access the data and do lots of research. I won't ask you to guess at a specific discovery, but how will we know that this massive effort has been a success? What kinds of advancements, what kinds of knowledge, when you and I talk in 10 years, which I'm sure we will let us know that this was all worthwhile?
The way in which in 10 years people will be given advice about how to stay healthy will be profoundly affected by this. We will understand the factors involving environmental exposures, diet, exercise, health behaviors, and genetics in ways that we currently don't. And so when you go to your doc in a decade, that should influence profoundly the kind of recommendation you're given about how to stay healthy. If you get sick and you need to take a drug, 10 years from now, this study will teach us what's the right dose of the right drug for you, as opposed to a one-size-fits-all approach to prescriptions, which right now is what we have. And we know that doesn't always turn out well. That's going to be a profound part of this. And if you get a chronic illness, let's say you come down with diabetes, this study will allow us, because there will be tens of thousands of diabetics in the study, how best to manage that. And there will probably be ways using cell phone technology and maybe an artificial pancreas that will be worked out over the course of that decade that will be available to you, and that the All of Us study will have helped prove how they work in the real world in a very diverse population. So it's going to have a big effect.
All right, Francis Collins, I'm going to let you go. Before I do, look, part of your job is to get money from Congress for all of the programs that are important at NIH. They are toying with yet another four-week CR right now. Directors of NIH and CDC hate this kind of thing. What does it mean for you and your agency to see more continuing resolutions, more stopgap spending measures instead of a spending agreement with domestic spending versus defense spending on Capitol Hill?
Congress has been very supportive of NIH, especially in the last couple of years. And if we get to the point of a budget for this current fiscal year, the indications are that it will also be very supportive. But as the weeks click by here and we're trying to make plans about where to make these investments, it's very difficult not to know what actually the budget is going to be. So I hope pretty soon we get past what have been a serious set of log jams and make some decisions.
Dr. Francis Collins, Director of the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. Dr. Collins, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you.
Well, NIH wants to hear from you, and of course, we do too. Have you ever done genetic testing to uncover health risks? From Deer Park, New York, I have, and I'm waiting on the results. I have no family medical history because I was adopted at a time in New York when closed adoptions were legal. I want this information for my own sake and for that of my biological children.
Hi, my name is Julie from Erie, Colorado. Yes, I have done genetic testing. I'm a scientist and so want to make health decisions for me and my children based on data.
Are you excited for what your genetics could have to tell you? Are you ready, maybe, for some of the bad news you might get? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can join the conversation, as always, on our Facebook page. This is The Takeaway.